Now, these were some hard men here that in this parable. They wanted everything for themselves, apparently. They didn't want to share nothing. And, of course, you know, you remember in our Pew Bible, it doesn't have the red writing when Jesus is talking. But this is Jesus telling this parable mainly to this bunch of the Pharisees who were standing around trying to challenge what he says and his authority to say it and to do what he did. Okay, so what does this parable mean? And it's interesting how things work that Karen was did the youth lesson about grapes and growing grapes. And we even have a picture of a vineyard on the front of our bulletin this time. I thought that was apt. But what this is about, what does this parable mean? It's not about growing grapes. It would have been easy to understand for these people back then because that was the main thing that they lived off of. You know, they had to have wine to drink, so they had to grow grapes. So they would understand the things he was talking about. But it's not about growing grapes. It's about something completely different. Okay? So what is the vineyard in this parable? The vineyard is God's promise to the world, the hope of salvation and resurrection. That is the vineyard. Okay? The man, the landowner who planted the vineyard is God. The husbandmen who he rented it to are God's people. In this case, particularly the Pharisees, but as we're going to see a little bit more clearly as we go through this, all of us who call ourselves God's people are the husbandmen. And the fruit of the vineyard is that more people know God's love. That's the purpose of God planting this vineyard. That's this parable. And the Pharisees knew exactly what Jesus was saying, because if you read on a couple more verses, they got really mad and they said, "We're going to have to kill this man." They knew it was addressed to them. Okay, the servants that the landowner sent first, that's all the prophets through the ages, up through John the Baptist. The landowner's son who he sent and was then put to death is Jesus. So this landowner who had this vineyard that he owned and was trying to get these other men to look after it for him and make sure the fruits were harvested and distributed as they were supposed to be. Well, these men didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep it all. So they beat and killed and ran off everybody who came to collect. So this was a real insult to these Pharisees for Jesus to say this, because they were thought and taught from birth that they were God's people. And they believed that they were God's blessed people. Unfortunately for them and for a lot of us who call ourselves God's people, we tend to think that it's all about us. It's all for us. Well, you know, the Pharisees believed that they obeyed all of God's commandments, did everything they were supposed to do, and they believed that all of God's blessing was for them. You know, he had told as far back as Abraham, who was the father of all the Hebrew nation, that you're blessed because the earth is going to be blessed through you. And they thought that it was just because they were so good that everybody would look at them and say, "Oh, God is great because look how good these people are." Well, unfortunately, over the years, the Pharisees tended to complicate things, as we always do. They added laws upon laws upon laws. If you read in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, they added tons and tons to God's laws. And Jesus accused them several times of actually thwarting those commandments that were given in Exodus by adding laws on top of it that kind of smothered the original meaning of those commandments, which, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, for those of you that were fortunate to be there, Don Rose gave us a good lesson about that. These commandments are holy. These are God's laws that he wants us to obey, and if you don't obey, it's clear what the punishments are. So the Pharisees are thinking, okay, we're doing everything right. But unfortunately, the Pharisees had this tendency to think that nobody else could do anything right. We know from stories we read in the scripture and history that foreigners were excluded. They did not allow anybody to come worship with them and worship their God. Yet they wanted, you know, they thought that their God was supposed to be shown to the rest of the world. But at the same time, they didn't want to show him to anybody. Nobody could share in him but them. So, you know, God has gotten tired of this. And this is one of the things that Jesus was just all up in the air about. Whenever he got really mad, it was usually at the Pharisees. But they're thinking they're doing it all right. Well, let's go back to the Exodus for a few minutes and talk about those commandments. We all know this passage in Exodus. When I read it, it's like, okay, I'm back in grade school again. Because we all know this. We know them by heart, most of us. I don't, but most of y'all probably do. We were taught this from childhood, that these are the Ten Commandments. If you break any of these, it's a sin, and you're in trouble if you do. But if you obey them all, then you're living a good life. And that's pretty much true. And the Pharisees, they were real careful to try to obey them all on the surface. But one of them in particular that I think they failed on, and I think this is what Jesus was talking about the most to the Pharisees when he argued at them, is the one which says, we know it as thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. And when I was little, I was taught that that meant about cursing. And you can argue that it is, and I won't say it's not, because it's not a good thing to curse, and it's not becoming, and it's disrespectful to God if you use his name. But I do not believe personally, and I have seen a lot of scripture studies that back this up, the word, the meaning of that commandment is much deeper than cursing. What I think it really and deep down means is, if you represent yourself as a person of God, then you darn well better act like it. And if you don't, you know, God says, I will not acquit you if you use my name wrongly. And what Jesus is saying is the Pharisees were using his name wrongly. They're saying, hey, we're God's people. We're good people. You know, can't nobody touch us. But y'all better stay away. You know, everybody else, we don't want nobody else getting this blessing that we've got. Well, we know that God wanted everybody to share in his blessing. And the Pharisees went around, you know, they had signs that we're God's people, we're good people. It's like they had signs around their neck, name badges, you know. Johnny, Pharisee, God's people. So they were proud of this. But as Jesus says in this parable, they're using it wrong. Jesus said, y'all rejected everybody that God has sent, including me, to explain to you what this whole God thing is about. And so he's condemning the Pharisees outright. And the main thing is that they're using God's name in vain. And he says a couple times in Matthew 15, verses 3 through 8, he says, many will come in my name, but they're false prophets. They're not my people. And they'll lead you astray, and their punishment will be eternal damnation. He says again in Luke 21, a couple other places, basically Jesus says the same thing. There's a lot of people using my name that ain't using it for me, they're using it for themselves. And that's one of the things that God really does not like. So why do we care about the Pharisees? You know, they dead and gone. They got their just desserts. So why do we care? Well, the reason we care or should care is that don't we call ourselves God's people? I believe we do. If we say we're Christian, we're saying we're God's people. And so we are under judgment. We have an obligation to be true representatives of God and not false representatives. And being humans and subject to all human foibles or whatever you want to call it, you know, it's almost like I think about all the crazy laws we have in this country, and they're calling for more, you know, in the last week they're calling for more laws on gun control because that's going to stop these crazy people. And we already have more laws, and I'm getting off the subject here, but we already have more laws on gun control than any other nation in the world. And so why pile more on top of them when obviously what we're doing ain't working? To me, the fact that we're not treating our people with mental health issues, we're allowing them to run around the streets, and that's a case of our laws thwarting God's will, I believe, thwarting justice as well. But I don't want to get off on that. But we're just like the Pharisees. We pile up rules and regulations, how society is supposed to act. And the more we pile up, the further we get away from where God had it laid out pretty simple back then, didn't he? 10 commandments, it's pretty easy. Most of them are pretty clear to understand. You love God, you treat other people the way you want to be treated. You don't take advantage of them, steal from them. And that's what you're supposed to do, but, you know, we make laws and laws and laws just like the Pharisees did, and they tend to just overshadow what we're supposed to do. Well, I've gotten a little bit off my subject now, but so we're God's people. What do we do to keep this vineyard, or will Jesus come one day and take it away from us like he did the Pharisees? And I know that in the past, and we all know in the past, there was some people that was not welcome at Plank Chapel. And I truly believe that those days are gone. I pray they're gone forever. We were seen as not a very welcoming church, which means that we want to keep God to ourselves. We don't want to share him with the rest of the world. You know, that's wrong. That's using God's name in vain. You know, you can argue against it, but since I'm the one up here talking, you got to listen to what I say today. But, you know, I know there was a time in our past that that's the way it was, and not just Plank Chapel, a lot of churches. But, you know, I don't see that today. I see us welcoming. I see mission work. I see our church trying to become more involved and more caring about our community and those around us. And unfortunately, you know, God doesn't tell us if you do such and such and such and such, you know, you'll be doing my will. We have to kind of work it out for ourselves. He did not give us the ability to know the future. So if we start out to do something, we can't really know how it's going to turn out. We don't have any idea. You know, it may be an earthquake, like Don Rose was talking about this morning, that takes all our plans and destroys them. We don't know that. But if we did know the future, life wouldn't be worth living. So how do we know if we're doing the right things as a church, as people who come in God's name? Well, we don't. But we simply have to try to obey his commandments. And, you know, the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus a couple times, well, what's the most important commandment? You know, they was always trying to catch him in some technicality of the law because they, like our society, they love these technicalities and rules. And he always made them look stupid because he understood what it meant. They didn't. But they said, well, what's the most important commandments then of all these since you breaking right and left? And he said, well, there's two of them. He said, the first one, of course, is to love God and God only, and to love him above all other things or people. And the second one, which it ain't listed per se in the first 10, but the first 10 are all part of doing this. He said, is love your neighbor, look after your neighbor like you look after yourself and your own family. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. is to show love to those around us. You know, there's plenty of opportunities in our community, and I'm seeing a lot more that the Plain Chapel is getting involved in, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I think we're doing the right things. I think we're healthy as a church, and we've had a lot of meetings, a lot of talk about lately, you know, the leaders of our church, the ones who have supported it so well over so many years, are getting older. We're starting to lose some, and we'll continue to lose some. And there's a lot of concern. We don't have a lot of young people jumping up to take places in leadership. And we're not the only church talking about that. All the churches, all the mainline churches are talking about that because they're all struggling with being relevant in today's world. But I truly think that we're not unhealthy. I think that if we're doing God's work, then we will be healthy in the future. And I want to go back. I don't usually quote a whole lot of Bible verses when I'm talking, but it's one I do want to quote, and it's in Acts 5. And I'm going to see if I can find it in this little bitty book. It's one of the most meaningful verses to me in all of the Bible. It's Acts 5, verses 38 and 39. I found Acts 5. I got it. Okay, this man, what's going on here in this passage is that this is after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Okay, Acts is, of course, the title of the book is the Acts of the Apostles. So this tells what all of the apostles did, including Paul and his followers as they went out in the world. And the Hebrew leadership, still the Pharisees and scribes and those, they worried about this. Because they see somebody is wanting to go against the grain, and they seem to be having some success at it. And so this one guy, Gamaliel, I don't know how you say it, he was a lawyer, and he was well-respected. And he got up, and he said, y'all, look, he said, we've had a bunch of rebels in the past. And he mentioned some of them who were famous in Hebrew history, who were rebels, mostly against the Romans and other people who were kind of taking over the world, but they all wound up dead. And he said to them, and let me find my place again, in verse 38, he said, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, because if this plan or this undertaking, and he's talking about this new Christian faith, if this plan and undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. So he's saying to all the rest of these Pharisees, he said, let them alone. He said, if it's just a bunch of men who want to be rebels, he said, it's going to pass. He said, but if they're doing what God wants them to do, he said, you're not going to stop them. I don't care what you do. So to me, we are moving in the right direction to keep the vineyard and not have it taken away from us. I see Plain Chapel becoming a more outward-oriented, a more missional church. And I believe that's what all churches need to do. I think that's what God wants us to do, what he asked us to do as the husbandmen and not like the Pharisees.